Bible stories give us something to think about. They give us something to work with in our life. They give us something to set our course on to live a more positive, dynamic life. And we use in the syllabus of the University of Healing several references, and we say here, Jesus admonished humanity to recognize, "Ye are gods," from John 10:34. And he said, "The kingdom of God is within you," from Luke 17:21. And then, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect," from Matthew 5:48. Let's consider the last one here, from Matthew 5:48. "Be ye therefore perfect, even as is your Father which is in heaven." What does it mean to be perfect? What did Jesus mean by being perfect? Did he mean that you were the perfect physique, and you had the perfect relationships, and you had the perfect family, and you had the perfect nose, you know, and you had the perfect face, so characteristics of whatever? Did he mean by being perfect that you were a healthy person, you were rich, you were all these things? What could he have meant? Obviously, he meant none of those things. He meant none of those things. He said, "Even as is your Father, which art in heaven." So, how is God perfect? How is our Father perfect? How are we as God, as our Father, perfect? We are perfect insofar as we are being ourselves and having fun. That's all it can be. Just being yourself and having fun. Now, Ellen Jeromini, she thinks being perfect is whatever Ellen Jeromini looks like. And Sylvia says being perfect is what Sylvia is doing, because Sylvia has created herself as a perfect example of what the divine is. And Ingeborg, too. My God. She created herself being perfect as what the divine is. But my goodness, look at Ingeborg. Look at Sylvia. Look at Ellen. Three dynamically different duos, trios, who are fabulous, each in their own light. And neither one. Sylvia would die before she would become like Ellen or like Ingeborg. And Ingeborg says, "No way do I want to look like Ellen or like Sylvia. No way." You know. And Ellen says, "When you got it, you got it." And so she just hangs on to her own little image. Now, is that bad? No, that's not bad. "It's done unto you according to your belief about you." That's another statement from Jesus. You see, the Bible is full of a lot of beautiful, positive statements that guide us in our thinking and our attitude. But the word there is very important to recognize. They guide us. And why do I say they guide us? What is the prohibitive word in all biblical references and biblical teachings and biblical stories? What's the prohibitive word? Interpretation. Everybody interprets it according to their own understanding. Now, I will offer you a key and a clue. If you will interpret the Bible in this way, my way, of course, if you will interpret the Bible in this way, you will all have a beautiful interpretation of the Bible. You will all have the correct interpretation of the Bible, as Jesus meant his words, if those are the aspects of the Bible we're talking about. You will have a perfect understanding of the Bible if you will follow my way. And my way is this: be yourself and have fun. If you interpret the Bible from that point of view, then you will take from it all that is good for you, all that is beneficial for you, all that is uplifting for you. Jesus said, "It's done unto you according to your belief." So it is our belief that makes the Bible significant. It's our belief that makes the Bible fantastic. I was thinking now, what Bible shall I use as we start giving these talks each day? And I said, the King James Version is a good old favorite, and the Lamza Version is very good, and many other versions are available. But then the thought came to my mind, the Bible-thumping preachers. They take their Bible and they march back and forth in front of their congregation saying, "And Jesus said, and God said, and the devil said," and, you know, and I think this is unfortunate, very unfortunate. These people are sincerely believing what they're doing. and they're sincerely presenting it, and the congregation is sincerely listening or sleeping. And so as the congregation is listening or sleeping, what's happening? The congregation is coming to their own conclusion. What's the first thing the congregation says with a Bible-thumping minister?
Hey, he doesn't live it himself. I saw him with another woman the other day, you know, in a very unprofessional manner, you know. I saw him in a bar. I saw him at a dance. I saw the minister kissing Santa Claus.
That'd be interesting too, wouldn't it? But of course we have women ministers, you know, so just don't get your hackles up. Now, what is it that I am pointing out that we do? Victor? We're judging. We're judging. So now, if we judge the minister who is teaching one thing and acting another way, how do we do? Do we teach one thing and act another way? If we teach that ours is to be non-judgmental, then we should not judge anybody else's attitudes. We should not even create them being worthy of judgment in our experience, you know. We should create them just doing their thing, and we don't judge them. We don't care. That's their life. That's their choice. We want them to be themselves and have fun, don't we? And if being themselves and have fun is going to hurt them, go for it. What? If being themselves and having fun is going to help them, go for it. That's all we can ever do. If a little child is acting up, and the mother says, sweetheart, if you continue doing that, you're not going to be very happy about it.
Well, why not? Well,
you just keep doing it, and you'll figure out why. Now, the mother doesn't say, you little snip, you stop doing that, or I'll beat the pants off you, you know? She likes to feel that way sometimes. But she just knows that let him be himself and have fun, and he'll wake up to that sort of fun is just not all that fun. That sort of activity is just not all that rewarding. And that's why Jesus could say to the woman at the well who was goofing off, he said, okay, you've had every man in town, and the women don't like that. Stop it, and they'll forgive you, and you'll be okay. But, then he had the men in town standing there, and he says, all right, guys, which one of you is without sin? You know, which one of you is without sin? You can cast the first stone and stone this woman to death who you were sleeping with. Which one of you is without sin? And when he lifted his head, they were all gone. Mm-hmm. And so he turned to the woman. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ turned to the woman. Jesus the Christ turned to the woman. And he said, neither do I have aught against thee. Go and sin no more. He didn't say, you terrible woman, you know, you deserve every bad thing that the world could ever throw you away. He didn't judge her. He says, neither do I judge you, neither do I condemn you. So you see, if we can be ourselves and have fun, if we can understand here, be ye perfect, therefore, even as is your Father which art in heaven. If we can recognize that without judging, with being ourselves and having fun, we are living up to the precepts of our divinity. This is the story of the life and teachings of Jesus the Christ. This is the story of the teachings of Muhammad, the teachings of the Brahmins, the teachings of every religion on the face of the earth. And as we take item by item or little areas by little areas to play around with, you'll always come up with that same answer. Be yourself and have fun. They're rather dramatic words. Have fun, you know. My God, who said the Bible is supposed to be fun? Be yourself. Oh, no, you must be godly. How's godly? Huh? If you're going to be godly, isn't that yourself? Isn't that the divinity that you are? And to have fun, isn't that what we're told in the Bible? Go and sin no more. It sounds like she wouldn't have any more fun. But what would she have? She would have the fun of her life, of being accepted in the community, even though she goofed. And it's not a matter of forgiving, it's a matter of not judging. That's what the Bible is all about. Not judging. That's what the teachings of Jesus are all about. Judge not, lest ye be judged. For with what judgment ye judge, so shall ye be judged. And with that, you have our Bible lesson for today. So, think about it. And join in and have lots of fun. Being yourself and having fun. But remember, you had better be yourself and have fun the way you really want to do it, not the way your parents or the world or your peers or the government or anybody else says. Because if you do it their way, you're liable to be quite different. You're liable to be very judgmental. You're liable to be very condemning. You're liable to be very evil and group of people who go out and want to hang somebody when they do something wrong, you know.
The lynch mob,
yeah. The vigilantes, the lynch mob. And you see, that's what humanity wants you to do. Be a lynch mob. Be a vigilante. And Ellen threw an interesting comment at me. She said I should talk about nothingness and nihilism. And as I looked up nihilism, I found out the last definition for nihilism was, what do you think, Ellen? It was terrorism.
Yeah, that's what they do.
The last definition of nihilism is terrorism. Okay. And we certainly don't need that.
But it's good to know that is that.
And what it is, it's people who believe that there's nothing of value in our moral society.
Yeah.
And that is terrorism. That's the real terrorism. So, have a good day, and know that I love you very much, and that I'm always thinking about you, and I'm always saying, I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you too.